Hello, once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Sarah LeDuc. It's not all that easy to do from windowless Studio A, but today on the show, we embrace the great outdoors. We'll talk hiking with the folks from the Adirondack Mountain Club. Megan McLaughlin is the club's head of membership and a local hike leader, and Jim Slavin is the leader in the Adirondack's Albany chapter. They are both here in studio. Thank you guys so much for being here.
Oh, thanks so much for having us.
It's absolutely my pleasure. We welcome your calls for our hiking experts, 800-348-2551. The phone number again, 1-800-348-2551. You can also email us, voxpop@wamc.org. Thank you guys again for being here. Thank you so much. So tell me how you came to work for the Adirondack Mountain Club. How did you guys initially get into hiking?
I found out about the Adirondack Mountain Club actually living on Long Island, because even though that's not a very mountainous region, there is a chapter down there, and they did a talk at a library that I went to, and I learned about the club. And then when I moved upstate, I looked more into them and got involved on the volunteering side, and then eventually, you know, got a job with them, which was great.
And what are the parameters of your job? What do you do for the Adirondack Mountain Club? What's your day-to-day like?
As a membership manager, I oversee the membership. So getting new members, you know, handling all the processing and paperwork of, you know, renewing members and membership cards and all that good stuff.
And how important is a large membership base for the Adirondack Mountain Club?
Oh, it's great. We have almost 30,000 members. And across New York State, and actually we have members in almost all 50 states. We did briefly, and we lost North Dakota.
I was going to say, do you know which so, state is straggling? North Dakota bailed.
You know, if anyone knows anyone wants to get them a gift membership, that would be great. And we can be back in all 50 states again. And even, you know, a lot of members in Canada, and even a few over in Europe and across the globe. So it's just great for a kind of localized club that we have such a reach and, you know, influence. And yeah, the more members, you know, the more we can spread knowledge and education about the wilderness and how to treat it right and keep it going.
Leave no trace. Is that the most important thing?
Yeah.
Jim, how about you? How did you get into a life of hiking?
Well, I grew up in the country. So when we were kids, Mom would say, go out and play in the woods. And so that's just being in the woods is just a special place for me. And nowadays, with the stress of modern life, and I had a somewhat stressful job, I just found going for a walk in the woods was just sort of the therapy, the drug that I needed to help get through the day. And it's just great to be outside.
And lately I've been hearing a lot about, since people couldn't go, were out of their normal routines during the pandemic, a lot of people did venture outside for the first time, and that has made the Adirondacks and Catskills and other mountain ranges, presumably globally, but certainly in our state, really busy, overutilized, and hard to get parking. What are some of the challenges and solutions for this issue that you guys are facing?
Yes. Well, I mean, one of the things is the Adirondack Park is huge.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of places to go. And, you know, people tend to just hit some of these major ones, but there are so many other places to enjoy. And, you know, you can look around and do a little research and, you know, find so many places locally. You know, everywhere these days they're putting in more and more nature trails, and there's just so many options if you look around. And it's not to say you can't enjoy some of those, you know, bigger, exciting, you know, jaw-dropping view outings, but, you know, maybe if you can go on a Wednesday.
Right. Because the parking is an issue at a lot of the high peaks, right? There's a parking problem up there.
Yes, I think it is a little bit better this year than last year. But it is still, yes, certainly an issue that they are constantly working on solutions for.
1-800-348-2551. This is Vox Hop. We're talking about hiking. You guys ready for a question? Ready for a caller?
Sure.
All right. Ellen in Ballston Lake, hello.
Hi. Hi, and welcome to Vox Pop, because I've always listened to this. my daughter has gone from Baxter to Virginia on the Appalachian Trail, And I'm sure that oftentimes you'll might know about little boxes that are left with food and drinks and trash bags and whatnot. My daughter encourages me to do that, but I just wanted you to talk to the people about what they could put in a little angel box.
I have not heard of this before, personally, but
not.
I haven't, but that's just me. Have you guys heard of this before?
Yes. I mean, generally speaking, I would certainly not be leaving things at most trailheads on... I've not done the Appalachian Trail myself, but just my general knowledge of it is, yes, there are some waypoints and such that people use that are places where you can leave things like that for them. But yeah, you would really want to make sure that it's those specific waypoints where they know to look for it. You know, you can't just be leaving stuff over the place. But yeah, there are specific points that people could leave things.
Like, you know, fresh food or anything that would attract bears or animals. And my daughter always says to hang things in the tree near it, and you know, so that the people know. But mostly water is a big thing to leave. But anyway, I'm glad to hear you doing a show about hiking. That's wonderful.
Thank you for calling, Ellen. Have a great day. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. You can also email us foxpop@wamc.org. Let's go to Joan in Schenectady. Hello, Joan.
Hello, Sarah. Before I start, your work is wonderful, and thank you.
Thank you very much.
You are welcome. And to our experts,
yes.
My specialty or my preference is backcountry long trips. I sometimes go in for as long as a week or more, and I'm always trying to find places that are not used. I have a great concern that if somebody was trying to find a trail to a Whitney Pond, the back trail, and they were using their phone. They were using just a simple map on a phone. This trace trail I know it's a challenge. And they had a young person with them, too. So I just want to say to all those people going out into the woods, do your research. Don't just trust your phones.
Right. You can't count on having service out there.
Oh, you can't. You can't. That's one. And a simple map is not going to tell you all of the likely problems you're going to find on some of these trace trails that are now visible on a computer screen. But anyway, I tend to use a lot of the Siamese Pond Wilderness and the West Canada Lake Wilderness because, again, there's all those back spots if you go into Whitney and up to Pillsbury Bay. Are there some other goodies, nice trails where I can park my car for a week and not be seen by too many humans?
That's certainly difficult in the Adirondacks.
Getting to be more so.
I mean, certainly there are some longer trails that you could go on multi-day. You are going to see people because they do have access along the way. True wilderness mm-hmm. experience in the Adirondacks would not be the same as it might be in the Rockies or some places
right.
in Canada. So.
I wouldn't even be willing to put myself at risk in some of the really dangerous places. But I even made it to South Pond in I think it's Wilcox Forest, and thought that I was there completely alone because it's not on any, there's no trails. You're just bushwhacking. And wilderness leadership came from a college, showed up with about 9 people, and I'm like, no way. that pretty much answers my questions. It sounds like I might know already most of the ones where day hikers wouldn't be.
Yeah. So,
have you done the Northville Placid Trail?
Parts of it? Mm-hmm. I've done from Durant Lake down to Pisico Lake. So I'm interested in that new stretch starting actually in Northville. But I haven't done that much. That one is, you almost always are finding multiple folks at lean-tos on that trail. I was just looking for some clues to some of the lesser walked mm-hmm. places.
It's also beautiful that everybody's finding it, Joan. But thank yes. you so much for your call and have fun out there.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Okay. Have a wonderful Bye-bye. Day. It is time for us to take our first underwriting break. 800-348-2551 calls for Megan and Jim about the mountains. We'll be right back.
Support comes from Empire Exhibits and Displays, design, production, and project management for trade shows, museums, event, and interiors. Announcing career opportunities, empireexhibits.com for information. From Studio KTM Hair Salon, welcoming Jake Dingler direct from New York City, joining Kristen Marquette for private one-client in-salon appointments, studiokTM.com. And from Saratoga Jewish Cultural Festival presenting New Jerusalem, the 1656 drama by David Ives, The Interrogation and Excommunication of Spinoza, performances at Congregation Beth Shalom, August 1st, 1 p.m. and 5 p.m. SaratogaJewishCulturalFestival.org.
Welcome back to Vox Pop. We are hiking from our chairs in Studio A today, and we could have taken bets probably on the next topic coming up. I'm here with Jim Slavin and Megan McLaughlin, and we're going to take your question, Chuck in Hudson, about ticks. Go for it.
What do you think is the best medicine for ticks, and why do these ticks? When I was a kid, we used to play in grass 24 hours a day. Why is there so many ticks around here now?
Well, I'm not a biologist, but I can sort of twist your question a little bit, and I think in a way that may be helpful. The best way to take medicine for ticks is not to get bitten in the first place.
Right.
And so I spent a lot of time in the woods, Rensselaer County in particular, where there's lots of ticks. And I do trail work. So, you know, I'm not doing the stuff that you would do to avoid ticks, staying out of areas where the ticks can jump from a fern or from grasses onto you. So that's not avoidable. And everyone on our trail crew, to the best of my knowledge, wears long pants. Most of the people tuck in their socks, and we spray every 6 weeks with permethrin.
On your clothes.
On our clothes. Follow the directions. And I actually do something that I would strongly recommend is when I spray, I set my calendar so I remember to spray again in 6 weeks.
That's a great idea. I do that for everything I have to remember to do more regularly.
So
reminders, man.
It probably lasts about 6 weeks or longer. And I also recommend DEET. And I'll tell you, our trail crew does that, but we do have some tick problems from time to time.
So avoid them if you can. Treat your clothes, dress appropriately, and always do a tick check when you get inside, right?
Certainly.
All right. And then his second part, Chuck's second part of the question was, why are there so many ticks now? Which has been discussed in the media a great deal, I know. Climate change, maybe.
Yeah. Yes, it does have to do with the changing habitat conditions and then just slowly spreading their territory over time.
1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-TALK1, or voxpop at wamc.org. Let's go now to Chris in Sand Lake. Hello, Chris.
Hello, how are you?
Well, thank you. What's your question for Megan and Jim?
Well, I'd like to address the crowding. You know, Yogi Berra had a great saying, nobody goes there anymore because that place is too popular. And that applies to me. I've done dozens of backpacking and canoeing trips in the Adirondacks over the years. And I just don't go anywhere. Too many people, too many dogs, too much dog poop, no firewood. I'm just wondering if the ADK or the state or all of you together are going to try to address this or just let it do what you've been doing.
Oh, there are multiple groups working on addressing it. In 2019, there was a High Peaks Advisory Council that ADK was involved in with the DEC and multiple other organizations. You can look up all the information for that on ADK or the DEC website. Their finding where they talked about alternate options like increasing the shuttle system, you know, changing parking lot, you know, things around, such as, you know, we are currently working on rerouting the Cascade Trail to start at the Van Hogenberg Ski Center, where there would be better parking and off Route 73. So there are, you know, things in the work. There's a lot of things to still do, certainly. And no, there's just, you gotta, you know, spread it around and not just try different things. I did a lot of the smaller challenges last summer while things were extra super duper crazy. And, you know, you heard about parking in the High Peaks, you know, getting full at 5 in the morning. I did some of the Saranac 6, Tupper Lake Triad, got there at 8, and it was fine. So, you know, that can make a difference. I wouldn't get there at noon.
All right, well, thank you.
Thank you, Chris. Thanks for your call. The phone number, 1-800-348-2551. You said you're working on rerouting the Cascade Trail. What is involved in that? It must be just a lot of red tape and then a lot of saws and axes. Go ahead. Answer the question.
Yes, so ADK has a professional trail crew, and they work on stuff all over the state. So they are the best at what they do, and they have been working on that. And it actually takes a surprising amount of effort to build a trail. It's not just about clearing a path in the woods. And that's part of the issue with some of these trails, is that is just what people did, you know, back in the day, is they just cleared a path to the summit and just went for the most direct route. And now we know that that does not equal good long-term trails. You need to have switchbacks and things to avoid erosion, and they, you know, there's levels to a trail. They put down crushed stone, multiple. Jim can talk a lot about that. He does that himself. But you really, if you build it correctly, it will last. It won't erode so quickly. And the mud and issues like that will be significantly lessened.
Jim, it sounds like backbreaking, but ultimately very satisfying work, I would think, because you can really see what you did there.
Yeah, our trail crew doesn't go to the gym very often. There is no need. And if you go on the ADK website, you can take a look at the trail crew, and these are incredibly strong young men and women. So, yeah, I work on a trail crew with an organization called the Rensselaer Plateau Alliance, and we do a lot of what Megan talked about. I've also done a lot of work with the ADK sort of pre-COVID. Building a good trail is super important, and I can't emphasize enough the use of rock, because rock lasts, and think about water drainage and constant maintenance. There are some areas up in the Adirondacks and everywhere that we've built that to go from point A to point B, there's just no good way to get there.
Right.
So please realize that as you hike. Join us so you'll learn more about it. And please embrace the mud. Go through the mud, because there are some places that we just cannot improve. And, you know, boots will dry and they will clean. But if you go outside of the central part of the trail, you're going to be doing damage to the environment. And we encourage you to get a little wet, get a little muddy. It's good for the trail, and it's good for the community.
We're talking about hiking on Vox Pop today, 1-800-348-2551, or you can email voxpop@wamc.org. We do have an email here from Pamela and Troy, who says, I can vouch for Jim's expertise, having taken one of his classes. So you got an endorsement here right on the air.
Fan.
It says, I hope he doesn't forget to mention, so we'll prompt you to mention, that the local chapters have a wide array of outings and activities outside the Adirondack Park system. How about a plug for our Albany chapter paddlers, canoe, and kayak outings during the week in the capital region? Smiley face emoji.
Yes, and thank you very much. So one of the things that we will be putting up on the WAMC website is an updated hiking in and around Albany. And I just updated it today.
Yeah.
And it talks about a lot of things we've already been talking about. Let's spread out. There are some amazing hiking trails around here and largely underused. Again, the organization that I'm working with now built 5 miles of trails last year in the Rensselaer Plateau, which looks a bit like the Adirondacks. So, yes, I love the Adirondacks. I've been hiking up there this year, but I also love going less than an hour from Albany.
Right, right. No,
and
yeah.
Getting that wonderful experience and thinking about the big picture of hiking responsibly, thinking about the community of hikers and the ecology.
1-800-348-2551, 1-800-34-TALK-1. Let's go to Jeff in Clifton Park. Hello, Jeff.
Yeah, hi. My question is, my son and I have done a little bit of hiking in the Adirondacks. We're going to be going out west. For somebody who's been to both places, what are the big differences we're going to see between hiking, say, in the Rockies and hiking in the Adirondacks? Thank you.
That's a fun question for me. So
they're
I guess,
exactly the same. Nope.
I've got to say that my wife doesn't entirely trust me, so I have hiked a bit in the Rockies, but with a guide. So the difference is the trails and the elevation probably more than anything else. It is much drier out there, as you know. The trails, when you hike in the Adirondacks, you have to hike like an Adirondack hiker. You're looking at where you're going, and you're looking at your feet. When you hike out west, it's more like walking on a road. They have these things called switchbacks, which are now being developed in new trails in the Adirondacks. As Megan pointed out, the original people who laid out the trails went top to bottom, usually up a stream. So the trails are much better. Do be careful with the elevation. It's hard to know how you'll handle it. I find that somewhere between 11 and 13,000 feet, I struggle a little bit. But everyone is going to be different. If you can get out there a couple days ahead and it's going to be a higher elevation, I would recommend that. Stay hydrated, and it's different and wonderful, and they're both wonderful in their own way.
Any follow-ups,
Thank
Jeff?
You.
Okay. Thank you for your call.
One follow-up. What altitude do you begin to have trouble? Is it 12,000? Is it 14? It's an individual thing, right?
Yes, it's very much an individual thing, and it's impossible to predict for us relative flatlanders. And the most important thing is if you start feeling unwell, get down as quickly as you possibly can.
Okay, thank you. Have a good day. Thanks a lot.
Have a great time in the Rockies with your son. 1-800-348-2551. We'll keep going here. Mike is in New Windsor. Hello, Mike.
Yeah, I want to just preface my first question. You said something about parking. I mean, I'm up by Goodenhour and I'm up by Long Lake. What is there like Lyft or Ubers that are work that area so you could park somewhere and go get them to run them to another area, or they don't work up there?
Oh, I don't know about specifically up there. It can be risky. I know even in Lake George on the east side of the lake where there's a lot of trails like Sleeping Beauty and Shelving Rock and stuff, I have run into people up there that got a Uber to take them out there, you know, from Lake George Village.
Right.
And but then they couldn't get one to take them back, partially because they didn't have service.
Yeah, if they don't have service, so there's no people just driving around, they wouldn't be there.
Yep. So that is a concern where you might be able to get there, but then not out.
I'm a retired fireman, and I'm always concerned about fire. My cousins are in Tahoe this past week, and half of it they couldn't even see because of the fires that they're having out west. And I noticed in the Hudson Valley, we got a lot of that smoke and soot that came from the west. Has it hit northern Adirondacks?
Yes, because some of the smoke is coming from Canada. So,
yeah.
Okay, I thought most of it was coming from California,
it's
because they're burning.
It is still coming from the west. It's just getting pushed north first in, like, you know, weather systems, and then still coming, rolling down into the Adirondacks, yeah. Making the views interesting and the sunsets pretty. All right. Sorry. Thank you, Mike. Ooh, that was my fault. We got mixed up there. But yeah, it does make this, I mean, it's bad. The fires are bad. But then some of that stuff in the air makes the sunrise and the sunset really pretty. It's not worth it. It's just a plus. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. We'll go to Judy in North River. Hello, Judy.
Hello. We got the smoke in North River, too, which is kind of near Gore Mountain area, so mm-hmm. Southern Adirondack.
Right, yeah.
Anyway, just a two-part. One, I wanted to comment on the ticks. Also, ticks, they can detect heat, like kind of infrared heat, like so the heat off the top of your head. Mm-hmm. So wearing a hat is actually pretty important because they'll go, oh, look, they think you're a deer, and they'll jump on your head. So my question was about do you have to get a permit, Sam, to hike in the Adirondacks? I saw that earlier this year and I never followed up.
It's actually probably very good that you asked this because at ADK, and even in my office, just with membership, at our front desk, we are getting lots of questions about this. So it'll be good for people to hear this. Generally speaking, you do not need a permit to hike in the Adirondacks. There is only one parking lot called the Adirondack Mountain Reserve. It's also known as the Au Sable Club. It is privately owned property that has a deal with DEC that allows hiker access to the mountains there, which you can access from different points. It's not like if you want to avoid that property, you cannot get to those mountains. You can get to them from other ways. But some of them, that's the quickest way to get to them. But they implemented a permitting system this summer. But it is only on this one lot that is privately owned. There is no permitting being done for any of the public lots. The Adirondack Mountain Club lot at the High Peaks Information Center is still first come, first serve. So yes, it is only the one AMR lot.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you for your call, Judy. Have a great day. 1-800-348-2551. We are talking about hiking with Megan McLaughlin and Jim Slavin of the Adirondack Mountain Club. 1-800-348-2551. Now we'll take a call from Peter in Berkshire County. Hello, Peter.
Hello. I'm a frequent hiker in the Adirondacks. There's only one issue I've ever had up there, and it was this past winter. So my buddies and I were on a camping trip, and we had both of our cars broken into. And when we talked to the police, they said it was a prevailing issue, especially in Keene Valley. And I was wondering if that was just a seasonal issue in the winter or if it's carried on into the summer. Thank you.
I can't talk specifically about that one area, but I will tell you I've hiked all over the country, and it's a problem anywhere. Yeah. Thieves are smart. They know they've left your car, and they watch, and they know you're going to be gone for a while. So my recommendation is, as much as possible, put as little in your car as you can. I always carry my wallet with me. I always carry my keys with me and my phone with me. So be thoughtful when you park, but it's a worldwide problem.
Yeah, and just kind of cyclical, one of those things where you hear about, you know, a little bit here and then it gets better and you hear about it somewhere else. And it just, you know, recurrently pops up here and there.
Good, Peter? Is that good?
All right. Thank you very much.
Of course. Thank you. Have a great day. We're talking about hiking on Vox Pop, and we'll go to email now. Paula emails from Beacon and says, every time I go to Denver, I suffer from altitude sickness for at least 36 hours after arrival. Is there a way to prepare before my arrival to prevent altitude sickness from happening?
The answer is yes, sort of. So
you just need to get a spaceship and fly to the edge of space.
So Denver is about 5,000 feet, and ideally, you would build up to it like you would build up to any kind of athletic endeavor. Remember, the higher you go, the less oxygen concentration there's going to be. And people who live at higher altitudes have experienced that for long periods of time and have actually changed the way they deal with oxygen in their blood. So it takes time is the answer, and incremental moving up in elevation over time is the way to do it. But everyone's different.
1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. We'll take another break here, and we'll be back with your hiking questions after this.
Support comes from Identity Eyewear, Albany, New York, specializing in distinctive eyewear, European styling, and prescription and non-prescription sunglasses. Eye exams by appointment, EYEDENTITY eyewear Albany.com. From the Hyde Collection in Glens Falls, now featuring masterpieces and mysteries, artistic treasures, and art historical queries drawn from its vaults, now through October 31st. HydeCollection.org for details. And from Adele Shafridi Studio and Gallery, a jewelry store in Rhinebeck featuring in-house designed and handcrafted fine jewelry with an emphasis on bridal and studio-made jewelry. Shafridi.com.
Welcome back to Vox Pop. I'm Sarah LaDuc, here with Megan McLaughlin and Jim Slavin of the Adirondack Mountain Club. You guys having fun?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you for being here. The phone number is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Let's go to Sue in Poughkeepsie. Hello, Sue.
Hi.
What's
is
going on?
Me?
Yes, it is. It is you. Hello.
Okay. I'm first of all, glad that AMC has been highlighting hiking for the last number of months. I'm a more than two decades member of the Mid-Hudson chapter of the Adirondack Mountain Club, and delighted that you are highlighting hiking. We also have a paddling component to our chapter. And we encourage people from all over the Hudson Valley to join either our chapter. There's a Putnam Valley chapter, and Orange County people join our chapter. We have activities during the week and on weekends. I'd like to tell you about a lovely place to hike in Dutchess County, which lots of people who've lived here for a long time don't seem to know about.
It's okay,
called
Sue.
Nuclear Lake.
Doesn't sound safe.
And it sounds scary. It actually had it's just a very serene lake that has no nuclear problems anymore. It had an accident in it, and it happens to be the first place that I ever took a hike to with the Adirondack Mountain Club.
Sounds wonderful.
It's just a lovely, a hiking club is a lovely way to get out into the woods and learn places in your area or distantly that are there for you. And it's often difficult to do by yourself. Thank you.
Have a great day. So you guys tend to agree with her. Hiking clubs are all right?
Oh, yeah.
But she made a really good point that the Adirondack Mountain Club has done a great job with aggregating all of the local clubs, of which there are 27, and all of them lead hikes and paddling and snowshoeing and other activities. And all of the hikes are available for your review on the ADK website. So go to the ADK website. I believe it's Outings.
Or you can just scroll right down on the main page, and there is a calendar there that lists all of them. So it can almost be overwhelming. You can go and look at specific chapter pages to see what's, you know, specific to your local chapter. But you can look at the master calendar, and that has everything you can imagine on it. from small hikes, big hikes, guided hikes done by our professional, you know, guides, education stuff. ADK does a ton of education stuff. You can go up to the lodge in Lake Placid and take classes on all sorts of things, map and compass, winter mountaineering, wilderness first aid, so many things. And you can do some of them online now. You know, with last year, we've got a lot of things online. So you can do them from your home, you know, if you have trouble getting to Lake Placid, though. I highly recommend going because it's a great experience to stay, especially if you do like a two-day class and you stay at the Adirondack Lodge, or they have yurts that they use for education, and you can stay in a yurt and have a yurt classroom right next door and go outside and learn about whatever you want to learn about.
Fantastic. Let's see if we can help Kevin in Clifton Park with a Round Lake question. Kevin, you're up.
Hi. First of all, I want to say I'm not a hiker, but I got a question. A friend of mine was telling me that in Lake George area, there's been a big increase in the rattlesnakes. Has that been an issue at all for hiking?
I have not heard anything about there being an increase. The Tongue Mountain Range, in particular in Lake George, does have rattlesnakes on it. You know, there is a small chance you can see them other places, but typically in Lake George, if you're going to see one, that's where you're going to see one. I have seen them there. And, you know, you just got to keep an eye out. As Jim mentioned, hiking in the Adirondacks, you tend to be looking at your feet a lot of the time anyway. So when I saw one, we pretty much almost tripped over them. So you just got to look where you're going. And, you know, as long as, you know, you keep your space from them, they're not going to bother you. The literal rule of thumb is if you can't cover an animal by holding up your thumb in front of your face and like blocking it, you're too close. So
I haven't heard that before. That's great. 1-800-348-2551. Thank you for your call, Kevin. There are rattlesnakes, but not more than there were. Oh, good. 1-800-348-2551. Let's go now to Eleanor in Amsterdam. Hello, Eleanor.
Hello. My name is Ellie.
Ellie, hi.
Not Eleanor.
Okay.
But never mind that. I want to recommend Mohawk Marsh, Mosier Marsh, which used to be part of the farm, and I gave it to Montgomery County Land Conservancy to be for hiking.
That's great.
Wonderful. Thank you, Ellie.
Thank you.
It was part of the farm, and I didn't want to be farm, so I think hiking is just as well.
Wonderful. Thank you very much for the call. We have an email here from Paul in Albany. It says, I'm in the early stages. This is my husband. I'm in the early stages of planning a Northville Placid Trail hike and wondered if you had any tips on meal planning, specifically what foods to pack to optimize space in a bear canister if you're not using store-bought freeze-dried meals. Thanks. From Paul. Good question, Paul.
I have not done long hikes. I admit the idea of having to carry everything
is daunting.
It's daunting.
It is.
So yeah. I haven't done any.
My son recently did some. He's also a Marine captain, so he has experience with this. And I would recommend going to a good store and buying the freeze-dried stuff. It is so much lighter than it used to be and tastes pretty good. So that's what people in the military would do, and that's what most long hikers do.
All right. The phone number, 1-800-348-2551. Let's go now to Thomas in the Berkshires. Hello, Thomas.
Hey there. Thanks for having me on, and great programming. So I actually just wanted to make a comment and follow up with a question. So the comment is for the gentleman asking about hiking in the Rockies. One thing I would add, having lived out in Laramie for a few years, definitely carry bear spray with you while you're out there. You never really know what you might encounter on the trail. And kind of related to that was encounters with wildlife on the trails in New York. What can you be prepared for? What do you need to prepare for? And are there any cases of running into bears or anything like that? And what's the best way in general to plan if you're hiking in that area? Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to take you off because there's just some phone noise on the line, but answer away.
Right. So, I mean, typically in the Adirondacks, we don't have tons of trouble with animals. I mean, one of the big things is just please don't feed them. Even the cute little chipmunks and the birds and things, as they get used to that.
What if they say please?
And they'll climb into backpacks and look for snacks and stuff. So you want them to be used to giving people as much space as possible. For bears, yes, we certainly do occasionally get nuisance bears. And usually the trouble is they have gotten into food before and then they get used to raiding campsites. And unfortunately, that leads to, you know, the DEC having to get rid of them, which, you know, nobody wants to have to do. So the key is, yes, doing proper food storage. In the central Adirondack High Peak Wilderness, you know, you really should have a bear canister. Don't use bear hangs. They know what to do with it. They just pull that rope and cut it with their claws, and suddenly they have a pack full of food. So please use a bear canister. You know, that's very important. And the right ones. We've had some very smart bears in the Adirondacks, and they know how to open them. So you got to make sure you buy the regulation ones, because otherwise they can even open a bear canister. They get very smart and they know what they're doing. So,
And remember, we're living in their world.
Right.
So another simple thing that helps is make some noise when you're going through a pass, because they're using the same trails that you are.
Yeah, why wouldn't they? I mean, it makes it easy for them to travel too once these trails have been put in. And we have a question in the email from Alana. Says, we were just hiking in Lye Falls, Vermont, and were viciously attacked by black flies. Heading to the Hudson Valley now for the weekend to go hiking. Has it always been this bad with black flies, or are we just unlucky? Should they expect to run into black flies in the Hudson Valley this weekend?
No, it's very hit or miss.
It's been so wet this year. That does not help.
Yes. But it just depends. You never know. I've gone on trails thinking it would be very bad, and then it's not. And I have heard, you know, people say they did a trail the week before, and it was absolutely awful. And you go all prepared. And, I mean, I now have the full head net and everything after, yes, having one really bad hike where we were eaten alive. And I thought, oh, I'll never wear that silly bug net over my head because that just looks silly and clunky. And why would I ever want to do that? Until the day you get eaten alive by the bugs. And then you realize that it is a very nice thing to have. So I just try to be prepared because, yeah, you never know. You can go one day and it'll be really bad. And the next day it won't be.
All right. Next we'll go to Karen in Canada Lake. Hello, Karen. Karen?
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Yes. Hi, thank you. Thanks for taking the call.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter, who lives in Montana, is visiting for just 1 week. A friend of hers is as well. We live in the town of Caroga on Canada Lake, New York. And so they want to do a high peak in a day, like drive there, do the high peak, come home, because she wants her friend to see more than the foothills of the Adirondacks.
Mm-hmm.
So where would you recommend would be the best, closest high peak? They're the kind of hikers that are on the top of the mountain for sunrise, you know, like they're hikers. They live in Montana. That's what they do. So I'm looking for a recommendation for their day high peak hike from kind of Caroga area.
I mean, all the high peaks, you know, most of them are centralized around the Lake Placid area. Keene Valley, Lake Placid, and such. I lost my train of thought.
Yeah, it's just, it's hard to beat Cascade, but don't go during the weekend.
Yes, that was going to be, are they going on a weekday? Because that would be best.
Yeah, they can definitely do a weekday. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They could maybe, if they could find a place to stay, if they slept over nearer there, they might have a better chance of getting a parking space early in the morning.
So Cascade is just a wonderful hike with a great view. There's one of my favorite hikes to get a feel, because this would be different from anything they've done before, is Noonmark during the week.
Okay.
And the views are amazing because you're in the middle of all the peaks. If you want to do something a little harder, Giant is a wonderful hike. But it's 3,000 feet elevation in about 3 miles. So it's a good workout.
Yeah, pretty steep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's also, just mentioning Noonmark, in in Keener Keene Valley, the Noonmark Diner has excellent pie. That's something that everybody's interested in.
It is very well. They're very well known for their after hike pies.
She, yeah. Indeed.
Yeah, she knows about that.
Wonderful. Well, good luck to them, and thank you for your call.
Thank you for your suggestions. Thanks. Absolutely. Bye.
All right. I almost gave the phone number again, but I don't need to. We have plenty of calls and not enough time to get to all of them. Who's been on hold the longest? Kent. Kent in Voorheesville. Hello. Kent, are you there? Going once. Going twice. Catch you next time, Kent. All right. Let's go then to Gilda. Hello, Gilda.
Oh, hi. Thank you for taking my call. I have two questions. The first one is, I've never been to the Adirondacks. I'm going in August. Do you just go to any trail and hike, or do you need reservations? Do they limit the amount of people on the trails? And the second question is there a place I can go to find out which trails allow dogs?
Okay. The answer to both of your questions is one and the same. The only place that you need reservations and that also does not allow dogs is the Adirondack Mountain Reserve, also known as AMR or the Au Sable Club. It is a privately owned parking lot, and they, starting this summer, require reservations. And because they are a nature reserve, they do not allow dogs. All of the other public trailheads in the park do not require reservations, and you can bring your dogs. They should be on a leash.
They have to be on a leash,
yes,
right?
Yep. Yes. Because you never know, as we just talked about, there's bears, there's other people, there's all sorts of things, so a leash is important. But yeah, all of the mountains that you can access from the AMR lot, because some of them are high peaks, you can also access from other points. So I know people that have done all 46 peaks with their dog, and they just access them from different points.
And the Adirondack Mountain Club has some wonderful publications that can help you choose which hikes you wish. So go on the website and take a look at the publications that will help you out.
Is that, just type in
AdirondackMountainClub.org,
or?
It's just ADK.org.
ADK.org.
Yeah. We got all sorts
great.
Of goodies
Thank
on
you.
There.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Gilda. Have a great day. All right. Let's see if we can squeeze another one in. We will go to Megan in Stockbridge. Hello, Megan. We have just about a minute.
Hi.
If we can really, really quickly ask your question.
Okay, I'll see what I can do.
Thanks.
Thanks for taking my call. So I'm calling because I was an avid hiker and backpacker up in the Adirondacks for years and years, but I recently got cancer, and that's left me in a wheelchair, and I really miss the beauty of the Adirondack Woods. And I'm wondering if AMC has any information on handicapped accessible trails, or even as we were talking, you know, thinking if there's ever any thoughts of programming at the lodge of you know, how to backpack when you have a disability. I know there are other places that do that, but there's nothing that I've been able to find in the ADK. So just looking for accessibility for folks who have physical disabilities in the beautiful, beautiful woods of
the
Adirondacks.
A wonderful question, Megan. Go ahead, guys.
Yeah, I can answer that. You live in Stockbridge. So the Post-and-Kill Community Forest, which is in Rensselaer County, has a beautiful trail that goes over a swamp area and is ADK acceptable. That's the Post-and-Kill Community Forest, a 600-foot accessible trail.
All right. Thank you both so much for being here. Our guests were Megan McLaughlin and Jim Slavin of the Adirondack Mountain Club, ADK.org, ADK.org, to find more information. Support for Vox Pop comes from Albany Marriott, Wolf Road, Albany, New York, a full-service Marriott hotel implementing additional cleaning measures with flexible meeting spaces and features including mobile check-in and mobile key. AlbanyMarriott.com. I have to turn the page of this thing and say, Thank you guys again for being here. Thanks for joining us on Vox Pop. Our engineer has been Zach Malloy. Susie Chekai took your calls, and I am Sarah LaDuke. Tomorrow on Food Friday, the Culinary Institute's John Fisher will join us to talk sake. Talk sake, the drink, that is. That's tomorrow at 2 p.m., and you can stay tuned now to Capital Connection.